Could you open up your Bibles tonight to 1 John chapter 4? 1 John and chapter 4. And I don't know, for those of you who like to take notes, great. If you'd like to write down two bookends, the first scripture tonight is 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. That's the first of the two, and then the last scripture that we'll look at tonight is 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. So that's how we'll conclude tonight. So I've given you the beginning and the end, and we're just going to jump in the meat in the middle in just a minute. But let's first of all read 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, 16, and 17. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in Him, and He in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in the world. As He is, so also are we in the world. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. How many tonight are in Christ? Raise your hand. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Jesus said, "You are light in the Lord." If you are light in the Lord, you will manifest the facets of God's glory, God's light. As Steve Doty shared last night, those beautiful seven facets of God's glory, the manifestation of His magnificent character. You see, I was speaking a little bit earlier talking with one of the brothers, and I said, you know, God is light. It's hard to quantify light, but we know God is light and God is love. But we can get a handle on love, can't we? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. What does it say in defining love? We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for each other. God spoke through the psalmist and He said, God is good and does good. He speaks through the New Testament preacher, John. He says, God is light. God is love. And He manifests the character of love. Notice, who you are will manifest itself in what you do. Just as Mark was sharing last night, what is going to drive the behavior? Who you are. Are you light in the Lord tonight? Okay, let me try that one again. Are you light in the Lord tonight? Are you love in the Lord tonight? Then you manifest His character. That's how we're going to begin. I'm going to ask Mark Souter to come up and ask the Lord to bless the lesson and help us to hear what God has to say about love.
Please join me in prayer. God, I thank You so much for this camp. God, I thank You that You've brought us to this point, this weekend, of the messages that have been unpacked and the opportunity to reflect on Your Word, to grow in the knowledge of who You are and Your Son. Lord, I pray tonight that You would continue to remind us and encourage us to consider Your Word, to draw near to You. Lord, I pray for Bill as he unpacks the message tonight, that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see and understand this important message on love. Lord, a great love letter that You've given us, Your Scripture, Your Word. Lord, help us unpack that. Help us hear what the message is that You want us to hear. Lord, I thank You for Bill and his heart and challenging each and every one of us and encouraging us. Lord, I thank you for all you're doing in our lives and will do tonight and this weekend. God, it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Sure. Appreciate it. A profitable sacrifice. When that email came across my screen, a profitable sacrifice. Man, I gravitated right to the word profitable. And I asked Matt, I said, well, how come you gave me that one? And he goes, well, I kind of know my speakers a little bit and I know what's going to work. And so I got real excited. I won't say that I was shaking with excitement, but I got a little excited because I believe based upon the scriptures that God is a free market capitalist. Let me start my lesson that way tonight. It's a free market capitalist. Now, how do I know that? There are a multitude of scriptures that speak about private property ownership. Can I get an amen to that one? And you know, Abraham, man, what a man of integrity. Man, he wanted to bury his sweet wife in a very sweet place. And so he wasn't willing to be given a plot of land. He said, I am going to buy it for its market value. And he was deeded that land. Man, that's right at the very beginning. God is a free market capitalist. They negotiated the price, right? There's got to be the consideration for the actual property. And so I got excited. So I want you to think about this. Free market capitalist. Now, I'm saying that he has built those principles. Way back in 1983 when I was learning how to shave. And I was a year out of the Deschutes River, having been born again to the water and the Spirit. I went up to my first men's camp in Montana down in Cook City. And Jay Wilson asked me to preach and I was freaking out like, I don't know what to say. He says, you know what, just find a scripture and then preach it. You know, afterwards, he found out that I was teaching marketing and economics. And he said, hey, would you be willing to read some great economic stuff? He says, who's the guy that you were taught in college about? John Maynard Keynes. Big government, right? I love your shirt, by the way. Government, very bad. Would not recommend. Okay. And so he goes, well, I want you to study the concept of liberty in regards to economics. And he asked me to read the works of Ludwig von Mises. And back then, there was a series of magazines come out called The Freeman. And then after some weird things happened in Montana, it changed to The Ideas of Liberty. And man, I'm telling you what, I was preaching free market in my classrooms. And they took the economics program away from me. But you know what? I decided I'm going to go a little bit covert here. And I asked my principal, I said, you know, I'm teaching all these marketing things about how I'm making money and profit and all that stuff. And I said, but I'm dying, man. I need to teach business ethics. And he goes, don't you get me in trouble. And I go, I'm not going to get you in trouble. I'll give you an example. The richest man that ever lived said all hard work brings a profit. Mere talk leads only to poverty. Don't you think our kids could get a little bit of dose of all hard work brings a profit? He goes, yeah, that sounds great. I said, King Solomon. He goes, don't you get me in trouble. And I said, look, man, King Solomon said that. And I got a statistical study from Stanford University. 1,000 millionaires in the country were surveyed and they were asked, what helped you to get there? And I said, look, here's the survey. Number one. Character quality that helped them to get a millionaire is hard work. I said, not only the richest man in the world spoke it, but so does the statistic. So you know what? He said, okay, you do that, but don't get me in trouble. And so I taught principles like Proverbs 14:23. Every student who wanted to get extra credit on their first test had to memorize it and write it word perfect on their test at the end. King Solomon, all hard work brings a profit. Mere talk leads only to poverty. Now, when you look at it in the NAS, it's different than that. But the word labor in the NAS literally means hard work. So, I also gave some other ones like Proverbs 16:26. A worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger urges him on. Does that sound like maybe a little free market concept there? You know, the first principle of free market is private property ownership. You know what the second one is? The profit motive or self-interest motive. Huh. Well, that kind of sounds like a worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger drives him on. And again, Paul's instruction to Timothy, if a man will not work, neither let him eat. Sounds like God's not a socialist. In fact, I was told early on in my teaching that, wait a minute, God is a socialist. Now, this was someone who's an atheist. A guy was kind of sharp. He goes, well, why don't you turn to Acts chapter 2 at the end and Acts chapter 4 at the end? And I go, well, isn't that something? Somebody who owned his own property of his own free will decided to sell his property. He bought it, he owned it, and he had to choose to dispose of it and use it as he chose. Huh, sounds like free market to me. And he gave it to serve those in need. Huh, that's not communism, that's not socialism. That's free market, man. And so it was exciting having all those students memorize scripture. And I got away with it. And every day when they would walk into class, there was a biblical concept, if not a Bible verse, and we would have sayings for success. The fact of the four pillars of our free market, or what used to be our free market system, right, Nate, it's not that way anymore. Private property ownership, the self-interest or profit motive, the freedom of choice in the marketplace. Bad, bad, says the buyer, and then walks away and is bragging about the deal he got. That's a little bit of a Bill Compton part. But is that in the scriptures? Man, negotiation, folks, that's in the scriptures. Now, how about competition? Now, what does it look like from the world standpoint? The driver is always self. The driver is always self, right? In the free market system, the driver's always self. So the free market is evil. But what if the self is crucified and the new self is Christ Jesus? Have you been crucified with Christ? Oh, man, you're kind of quiet tonight as well. Have you been crucified with Christ?
Yes.
When were you crucified with Christ? In the waters of immersion. When were you buried with Christ? In the waters of immersion. When were you raised up with Christ and filled with the Spirit? A new creation. Christ in you, the hope, the confidence of glory. His great magnificent character manifest in you. God is love. Are you love? Do you manifest, because you are love, do you manifest the character of love? Are you light? Do you manifest His glorious character because you are light in the Lord? What's the answer? You can't do that backwards. We learned that last night. I'm going to love people and I'm going to keep working hard at it. And yet they know that there is some kind of selfish element in that. How many know that people are exploitive in the world now, are exploitive, and they use people's desire to be loved to exploit them? How many would agree? That happens. I want what you have. I want what you are. I want what you can give to me. And I will give you love to get what I want. That's sick, isn't it? That's sick. There's a networking group that I was invited to be a part of. BNI. How many have heard of BNI? Okay, BNI. All right, former member. I never got joined up because, man, I'll tell you what, it's interesting. BNI, Business Networking International. And you know what their slogan is? Givers gain. Little did I know that they had that flopped on its head, didn't they? Okay? Givers gain. I'm looking at the gain. I'm not looking at the giving. See, that's messed up. It's flopped on its head. There's a principle in the scriptures in Proverbs. He who waters others waters himself. He who waters others waters himself. I love that. So if we're about the business of watering people, they're going to grow. And when they know that you're genuinely concerned about their growing, when you're genuinely concerned about their personal welfare, with no strings attached, there's no expectation, they'll know it. And you don't have to ask them. They water back. How many of you know that there's a scriptural principle that Jesus spoke that has been so perverted by the prosperity doctrines of churches that want to shake everybody out? You know which verse that is? Give and it will be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Overflowing in your lap. For if you give God $100, you're going to get $1,000 back. No, that's not what it says. He who waters others waters himself. You don't need to worry about what's coming back to you. You need to be deeply concerned about being that man or that woman who is love, who is light, who is good. For God is good and He does good. Do you remember when you were immersed into Christ? Remember it says that just as the floodwaters of Noah washed away evil, so baptism now saves you. It's not a cleansing of the flesh. It's our appeal to God for a good conscience. Immersion is the way we appeal to God. That word appeal is a legal term. To appeal to the judge to overturn the guilty sentence. And you're appealing to him to do what? Wash away my sins. I can't do it. Only you can do it. And fill me with your Spirit. You know, in that scripture, a good conscience, the word good, Jesus says it. The rich young ruler runs up to Jesus and says, good teacher, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? Only God is good. Same word. You're asking for the goodness of God. And does He grant that goodness to you in His Holy Spirit? Does the fullness of deity dwell in us? What does the scripture say? Look at John chapter 14 and verse 23. The Father and the Son have come and made their abode with us. The Helper, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of glory fills us. The old man's been crucified. The old woman's been crucified. We are now the manifestation of God's love and God's glory. We're the tool. We're the instrument. We're the weapon. We're the vessel. God is Lord. We're but His bondservants. When we understand that, then we can understand 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. That's the scripture I've been given. Can you turn there with me? 1 Corinthians. That's 2 Corinthians last night. 1 Corinthians and chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. Great passage of scripture. A great statement of reproof. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, which is, by the way, is a very good thing. Steve Doty was talking about going into Belarus. Talking about PTSD. And I talked about it as well. And I don't know if you could see, brother, but man, I was crying because I was seeing Tatiana Grodna because her mom died of COVID and reaching out to her. Man, that stuff gets under your skin. Give all your possessions to feed the poor. That's good stuff. Can you do the right thing for the wrong reason? Jeff, can you do the right thing for the wrong reason?
Yes, sir.
Can you say that a little bit louder?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You can do the right thing for the wrong reason. I'm all about profit, but it's got to be on God's terms, not on my terms. It's got to be on His terms, not self terms. So we need to know that the old man's been crucified. We need to embrace that fact. We need to embrace, more importantly, that we are the manifestation of Christ. Now, was Christ the incarnate God? That's not a trick question. Yes? And if Bill has been crucified, if Nate's been crucified, and now you are Christ in Nate. When you embrace that in its fullness, then you're very intentional about your words. Was Christ intentional about His words? Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond that is of evil. And every idle word will be held accountable on the last day. Amen? Oh, let's be intentional. Just like Jesus, because we are Christians, Christ ones. Amen? So let's read this last one. Because the word prophet's in there, and I might get a little shaky and excited. Right? But it's got to be on God's terms, not Bill's terms or the old man's terms, but God's terms. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. God's economy is different than man's economy. God's economy is different than man's economy. There is profit in God's economy. Do you remember when Peter said to Jesus, "We've left everything to follow you. What's in it for us?" I can't believe that's such a selfish statement. They'd already given everything up. They were fully committed. Remember what Jesus said? Anyone who's left father and mother, farms, houses, children, wives, for my sake and for the gospel's sake, will receive 100 times as much in this life. An eternal life. Oh, and persecution. An eternal life in the next. Does that sound like profit to you? 100 times blessing in this life? Does that sound like a blessing from God? Are there blessings you have you can't buy with money? You have blessings that you can't buy with money. Money can't buy the blessings that we have. Crying with Andrea just a moment ago about the struggle of our men and women and their wives and serving us as ministers who bear the sword to protect the innocent and to punish the guilty. I've never lived it, but there are good brothers and sisters in Christ who are living it and reading the book that I shared with you last night, and I've got another book that Andrea shared with me that I'm going to buy and share with all of the wives of those 4 officers we are honoring in 2 weeks. Love is giving of self with no expectation of return. Jesus didn't make you love Him. He loved you first and let you decide. Isn't that how it works? He gave it all for you. You didn't even know Him. And He gave it all for you. When He died on the cross, He knew your name. He bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds we were healed. He knew you before the foundation of the world. Before the plan of salvation was created, before the foundation of the world. He knew you. He knew your name. That's why Abigail is infinitely valuable, as well as the rest of us here. How valuable? He loves her more than he loved his own son. And he was pleased to crush his son because he loved her so much. He loved you so much. He loved you so much. I don't know if it gets under your skin. Because I am not deserving of that love. And anyone who says they're good enough, they've missed the whole point. My adequacy, as was shared, I think it was last night or this morning, my adequacy is not in and of myself. That's why Bill needed to be crucified. That's why you need to be crucified. You're inadequate in the flesh. But in the Spirit, in Christ Jesus, as was shared, we are empowered to be able to do all things, endure all things, be all things for others' sake. Have you ever heard that before by the Apostle Paul? I would most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. Was there proof in that statement? Yes or no? He laid it all down. There's power there. A lot of people say, well, Paul was one of those, man, he was angry. You know what? That guy turned a corner on the road to Damascus and then powered up 3 days later. And that guy sacrificed all for the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave it all up. Read Philippians once again in chapter 3. Why? Because love drove him. He didn't give it all up to be loved by God. He's so overwhelmed by God's love that he was willing to lay it all down in love for God. Brethren, I want to take a look at this thing here. The investment of God-given talents, the investment of God-given gifts, the investment of God-given possessions in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, if you can do that, that's awesome. Use it. I wish I could speak Russian. Because I'd use it. So I employ the service of a young woman who doesn't know her dad, knows her mom, who's an alcoholic, three little kids, and she happened to be linked up with a beautiful woman named Olga Goncharenko. And she stayed in her family home. And I met her in 2017. Had the privilege of having her ask me, would you teach me this gospel you're talking about? And in 2019 in December, I immersed her into Christ. With a bunch of young people from Oregon and a bunch of young people there from Belarus, they witnessed this young woman being born again of the water and the Spirit at 20 years old. She's 24 now. She's married. She asked me to give a blessing on her wedding. And now she is helping me help others become Christians. A young lady by the name of Nicole that Steve's going to go spend time with. Her and Anya, Ann, and I worked together several months, and Nicole was immersed into Christ shortly after she saw a hospital and an orphanage missiled or rocketed by the Russians when she was in Ukraine. She was crying when we came to Bible study. She says, I can't stand this. I need to be immersed. She's a smart gal. See what happens when you are love, no strings attached. The amazing talent of singing, the amazing talent of being able to speak and preach the Word of God, the amazing talent of being multilingual like I'm not. I struggle with English, as you could probably tell. I don't have it all worked out yet. I'm working on it. Right. Man, Jaden. Did you realize what you did to the audience? Man, people were clapping and woo! Last night, I know they were not quite there yet. Man, I was whistling. You're not supposed to do that. That's whistling, man. That's great. That's a talent. It could be called a gift, but that's a talent. See? And you're investing it. Do you know anybody in the church? Well, Christendom, churchianity, that has that talent and they're using it to glorify themselves? In the context of the church service? Beautiful young woman. My first 2 years as a Christian. Man, she was gorgeous. She walked in the room and every head turned. And man, she sang like an angel. And then I got to watch how she was treating her dad. And I went, not interested. But other guys, maybe not as savvy about the ways of the world, didn't recognize that that gal's got some problems. And you know what ended up happening? One of the young guys in the college age group I was working with went, woo, just like I did at first. But then I went, no. Married her. She was this beautiful singer in the band. And she was doing the boys in the band and decided to dump her husband. Because being that beautiful angelic voice, she was using it to exploit others for what she wanted. Sick. Oh, she got the prophet of the world, but there's no prophet at the end. See, so you got a gift. Man, you got a gift, man. And I could tell, and I was talking to your mom, I was talking about you. Okay? I was talking good, right? Man, that talent he's got, he's sharing it to grow the church, to invigorate and energize the church by singing the Word of God with the git fiddle. That's great. See, so you can use those gifts for worldly profit, or for the profit that God will grant you. When, where, how? We don't know. Let God make that decision. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your needs better than you know them. Can I get an amen on that one? What about the investment of God-given gifts? In this context, the gifts, he's disciplining them because they got the gift of prophecy and the gift of all knowledge. And I know more than you. And I can speak in a different language and you can. And I'm more impressive. And he was shutting that baby down. So what? But when I think of the amazing gifts in Romans 12, verse 6 through 8, the amazing gifts, the gifts of administration or leadership. Someone who can see all the puzzle pieces and put it together. Where's Jeremiah? I saw him in here. He's playing the drums. Where is he? Where are you? Oh, there you are. What did I say to you yesterday?
Get to work.
I did? Oh, I don't remember that. But I do remember because of our dear brother Matt bragging on you, man. He's saying, this guy just gets it all laid out. And the freedom that I have to do what God's gifted me to do, the gift of administration, that's so powerful. It's powerful. Man, it's so needed. But you know, sometimes church administrators, because they're not elected by the board, ooh, I know that's all messed up too. Man, they think, I got it, man. I'm the chosen one. That's messed up too. Why? They're getting their own profit this side of heaven and ain't got nothing on the other side. See what I'm saying? So these gifts, these amazing gifts, invest them to serve the Lord and manifest His glorious character in you. And let Him figure out how He's going to shower the blessings on you. Investing, the investment of God-given possessions. Give possessions and physical resources to provide for poor Christians, those who have legitimate and those who have legitimate needs. How many would agree with this statement? That you honestly don't own anything that you have. God owns it by right of creation. And He owns you by right of creation, by the way. He owns you. He owns your stuff. And you know what? I always tell my sons, you know, sons, I'm just taking care of your stuff for a while. You can use it when you ask for it. But when I die, I got it all laid out, who gets what, and we're going to talk about the particulars, and then I want you to be good managers of what God has given me. Isn't that how that works? God has given us health so that we can create wealth. It's all His. So you're not giving nothing away. Wasn't yours in the first place. We need to recognize the sacrifice of your body. That's a great thing, but if you're not doing it for the right reason, the right motive, it means nothing. There is no profit in God's economy. The Lord desires we would sacrifice our all for Him, for His name's sake. Your name is not in that equation. Did you hear that? Your name's not in that equation. It's for Christ's sake. It's for the sake of others. Did Jesus come for any personal gain when He came into the world? He laid everything aside. He put on the robe of flesh. A man in every way. Save that He was in the Spirit from the moment of conception and then grew His faith and walked by faith. Amen? When we're immersed into Christ, the flesh is crucified. The new man is Christ in you, the Spirit in you. And now it's for us to walk by faith and not by sight. You know what my dad used to say? I love this statement. Now my dad didn't make it. Last 5 years, my dad was great. Because we finally learned to love each other. I didn't understand why my dad didn't love me. My dad did. He just was so wounded by his upbringing, so wounded by his war experience, so wounded by everybody leaving him that he could not get close to anyone, my mom or my brothers and sisters or me, his namesake. I thought for sure I was his namesake. I'd get the best of it. And you know what I came to experience? I got the least of it. Why? If I'm his namesake, man, if I lose him, I'm lost. And this was my dad's mindset. He told me this later. He said, if I lost you, I lost my legacy. But I never knew that. I didn't know that. But we learned to love. I went to see Saving Private Ryan. Real quick story. Went to see Saving Private Ryan. Have you ever seen that movie? Remember those guys when they're dying? They're always calling out, Mama, Mama. Remember the medic? He got shot full of, Mama, Mama. And remember what he said before? I always went to sleep because I didn't want my mom to talk to me. And then all of a sudden, in his last moments, Mama, Mama. And you know what? I couldn't speak after that movie. Kirk Parks. Some of you know him. He went with me. He's going, what'd you think of that movie, Bill? I know you love military history. What'd you think? It was real? What'd you think? And I couldn't talk. Because I knew the moment I opened my mouth, I would lose it. And I was pulling around the corner into our house. And I said, that movie moved me. And then, boom, I lost it. And so I go running in the house. I'm just bawling my face off. And Sharon didn't see it at first, and Kirk's wife was there. And I'm bawling, coming in, and I immediately go to my sons, and I'm grabbing them. I'm holding my sons. And Sharon goes, what happened? What happened? And I said, I got to call Dad. What? I got to call Dad. I didn't give my wife a hug. I hugged my sons. That was rude. But I was a man on a mission. I went and I called on the phone, and my sister picks up. Bill, is that you? What's wrong? Give me Dad. But what's wrong? Get me Dad. I kind of lost my cool. Dad got on the line, and I go, Dad, I understand now why. Why you couldn't show your love for me? Because of what happened in Korea. Because what your dad did to you, and what your mom did to you. My dad got quiet. Said, are you okay, Dad? He was crying. My dad doesn't cry. See the picture of him on my wall. They don't cry. Men don't cry. I never saw my dad cry. He's crying on the phone. He said, I'm coming up tomorrow, Dad, and I'm going to hug you, and you're going to hug me back. Got it? So I drove up that next day, got in the car, I gave him a hug. We started both crying, and we talked. And you know what happened that day? My dad felt love for the first time in his life. And I felt loved by my dad. Last 5 years were awesome. But my dad said, that wasn't in my script, sorry. You know what my dad used to say? All that glitters is not gold, son. All that glitters is not gold. And I was going, where did that one come from? Because he'd been stiffed by so many people. People that put on the show and then took advantage of him. He would say that. I never understood what my dad was talking about. All that glitters is not gold. And you know what? One of these times we went down to Placerville. We live by a city in California called Placerville. How many know what Placerville's famous for? All right, only one. Who is that raising their hand? What's Placerville famous for? Oh, you've been to Placerville. Okay. Who knows what Placerville's famous for? Gold. Hey, I love the 49ers. Not. But the 49ers were because of the gold rush of 1849. You know where they found gold? Sutter's Mill in Placerville. And we went down there. And my dad was sitting. And we were panning gold. And we're finding the little things that they put in the water. Like, give me a break. He goes, son, don't forget. All that glitters is not gold. He said, wherever there's gold, there's also iron pyrite. It's called fool's gold. How many know what fool's gold is? Iron pyrite. You find it with real gold because it usually comes out of the same geological formations. And so, oh, I found a piece of gold. No, you didn't. That's fool's gold. Fool's gold. All right, fool's gold. There is fool's gold in a sacrifice to God that is not motivated by love. There's fool's gold in the economy of God. And that's sacrifices that are made with the wrong motives. Jeff, could I hear that once again? Can you do the right thing for the wrong reason?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure? Could you prove it? It's long because I know people trust you. I'm just a new face on the block, but they know you. So if you want it proved, you talk with Jeff. Okay? Let's listen to some scriptures. I'm going to read these really, really fast. Okay? Turn your Bibles really quick. Listen to some of the scriptures that talk about fool's gold in God's economy. How about 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7? Why don't you write that down? And check me out. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Man, you know what? You can put on the show, but God's got you nailed. He's got every human soul figured out. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Psalms 44, verse 20 and 21. God knows the secrets of the heart. Man, you can put on the show. You can do all that churchianity stuff. Woo! You're looking good, baby. But you know, on the last day, the paymaster is going to pay you what you deserve. And there is no profit on the other side. Because the fool's gold drew you away from the true profit of God. Proverbs 16 and verse 2. The Lord weighs the motives. And also, the Lord weighs the heart. The Lord weighs the motives. You can do the right thing, but for a motive that is wrong. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ, no one is going to receive the profit from heaven in this life or in the next unless it's according to God's economy. The motive is what matters. Go back to Romans chapter 13. Let's read it again. Real quick. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I'm useless. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, so talented, but do not have the love of God, love motivated that, if love isn't motivating it, if there's another motive, it's worthless. How about this? If I have the gift of prophecy and all knowledge and all that wonderful stuff, all those great gifts, but do not have love, if love's not motivating it, there's no profit in God's economy. It means nothing. You mean, I might have been working all these years and I'm not going to get nothing? Well, I don't know. I don't know your heart, but God knows your heart. How many know the Scripture teaches that we can deceive ourselves? Jeremiah says in chapter 17, desperately sick is the heart. Talks about self-deception. Now, I'm not telling you, I'm looking down my nose. Man, I'm examining my own heart. Test the faith. Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Use the Scriptures as the tool to test yourself. Remember, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Be in the Word. Why? Not because you're learning what to do. You're learning who you are. Do you remember what we read? The first verse, the first section, 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. As He is, so also are we in the world. Does that correct? Who is He? He's love. He's light. He's good. And manifests those. Jesus said, you're light in the Lord. If you believe that, you're going to search the Scriptures. What does light in the Lord look like? You're not doing it so you can get a list. I want to know who I am. Woo! There it is. Well, I want to read a couple more real quick. I got off track a little bit. I got excited. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. How am I doing on time? Am I doing terrible on time? 5 minutes? Oh, man. All right. Let me give you these scriptures. You write them down, please. You checking me out? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 through 11. Jesus Christ is going to judge on the last day. And the paymaster is going to give you what you deserve. And ain't no one getting in unless they lived in the context of God's economy. The driver needs to be love. Love with no strings attached. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Check that one out. Lord, Lord, did we not do all these things? And man, they were good things. And He's going to say, I never knew you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13 through 15. Do you know the love of God? Do you believe that God loves you that much? Have you chosen to abide in His love? What about this one? Luke chapter 13, verse 22 through 28. Lord, did we not sup with you every Lord's Day at the family dinner? Go back and check me out. I never knew you. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm asking you to test yourself with the Word of God to see if the motives are pure. And don't Be careful not to deceive yourself. Let the Word of God pierce you where you need to be pierced. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28 through 34. The scribe got it. Teacher, you have answered well. It is true to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is much greater than all sacrifices. Did you catch that? God wants us to sacrifice our bodies, it says. Doesn't it? Romans 12. I beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God, to give your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Look what He did for you. It's only reasonable that you would respond in love. Isn't it? See, and so notice, that scribe got it. love of God and love of others is much more important than all sacrifices. Does he want you to sacrifice? Yes. Does he want you to use your talents? Yes. Does he want you to use your giftedness? Yes. Does he want you to give your body to be burned? Only if he decides to go that route. But you must do it because you love him. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, the love of Christ controls us. Does the love of Christ control you? Remember, God is love, God is light, God is good. Light, love, and goodness are manifest through Jesus Christ. And who are you, by the way? Hi, my name is Christian. Hi, my name is Christian. No, I thought it was Bill. Hi, my name is Christian. What's your name? Hey. This lovely young lady in the glasses that makes her look so beautiful as a teacher of the word. What's your name? Christian. Christian. Okay, good. All right. What's your name? Good. Last verse. Remember, there's a bookend. Last verse. Can I take 2 more minutes? Okay, thank you. Man, I set myself up for failure. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. This, set myself up, man. Okay. Shouldn't have done that. No? Okay. Okay, here we go. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Took a year to preach on that verse. The goal of our instruction. You know what that actually means? The end result of the commandment of Jesus Christ. It's a military statement. Paul is just a lieutenant or a captain. He's just saying, men, women, the end result of this commandment given by King Jesus is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Go therefore and liberate. Thank you.